Thank you. Good to see you this morning. And I so remember the Easter drama last year with that song and the video that Brother Ricky made. I almost wish we could pull that up and saw it with the acting out. And then Brother John and Miss Peggy found out later, a lot of the cast didn't even see the video. They didn't know what was even going on. But we had all the things going on at once. And Brother John and Miss Peggy working out that beautiful scene we saw of that event in our Easter drama last year. And a lot of people question, well, why'd you have a man and wife do it? If we study the scripture, you find out that's more than likely what it was. It was a man and it was Cleopas and his wife. So, but anyway, there's a lot of interesting things with that. Love that song, and it fits so well. And ask Brother Joe Berry to have one ready for the end that will fit together. Do remind those that are listening by way of internet, we are planning on doing Judgment House, and we explained the method of doing that last week. At this point, we are looking at the possibility of doing it as a drive-through. Now, if things should change, we would love to do it right here in the building. So if things get better, I guess you'd say, and regulations change, absolutely. We'll come right back in here and, man, we'll go to town. So that would be awesome. I'd love to see that happen. Right now, we're not seeing that we feel that it's going to, and people aren't going to want to crowd 15 in a room, you know? So we're at this point, we're looking at the drive-through, and we're hosting it at the Stillwater because of the fact we already have, there's no use to reinvent the wheel, you know? We already have everything laid out for a drive-through, all the power feeds, all the things we're seeing. Everything is in place there, and that's the reason for that. And we just want to make it as easy. And I know this transition period, and hopefully it'll be the only time we have to do that. I'm hoping that by next year things will be kind of settled down. We don't know. We don't know what God's going to do. Things as we know it may never settle down. We don't know. But I told people last week at the end of the service, and I probably mentioned a little bit how we're going to do that at the end. I still feel strongly we need to do it because when I passed the graveyard, there was still three tents. I think two tents, and then I saw another one last week. People are still dying, so they still need to hear the Word of God, and they still need to be given a decision to make a decision about where they're going to spend eternity. Miss Trudy's been great to already come up with ways that we can get the judge the names, and I guess they'll just wave out of the car instead of step forward when he calls their name. But we can do all those things. But thank God one day when he calls my name, I'm going up. I don't care if I'm in a car or where. But Book of Psalms, chapter 1, and I'm going to be focusing in on one verse this morning, even though the whole chapter is phenomenal. Brought some months ago, it's actually probably been 6 or 7 months ago, I started working on this message and never preached it anywhere. And in fact, the last two pastors we've had bring some great messages and they had object lessons. And I said, well, I'd love to have a nice object lesson, but the problem is my object lesson wouldn't fit in the building. And I had a picture of it, what started my mind in this direction, and I was looking at the picture on my phone and come to realize it was not, I was going to have it on the screen for you so you could see it, and I realized it really wasn't clear enough for you to understand what I was looking at, so I will have to do the very best job I can to describe it to you. So I brought forward one of our little fake trees here, our ficus tree that's on the stage. The title of the message this morning is Be Like a Tree. Be like a tree. Psalms chapter 1 and verse number 3, the Word of God says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, some years ago, and I understand this is to all humanity, all those that name the name of Christ, male or female, my wife used this verse and taught this whole passage to her volleyball team, and their motto that year was like a tree, and they would sometimes be yelling out on the court, remember, be like a tree, and I know the other teams wondered what in the world they were talking about, but it was in reference to this passage. I don't know, how many of you love to go out in the woods? Some of you, a lot of you outdoors people like to, I do too. I would rather be, most of the time, the best messages I ever get come from walking in the woods. I one time felt kind of funny about that I'm not a traditional, you know, in the office, sit down and all that kind of person. And I read Billy Graham said some of the best messages he ever got was walking the trails of the mountains in western North Carolina. And he said if he could just get back to those trails, he could get some study time alone with God and he could get ready for the next tour he was doing. And so I kind of like that. I don't study real well sitting down. The Word of God tells us to be like a tree. Now, there are many types, many variations of trees that God has created. Oftentimes, when I'm going through difficulties in my life or when I'm wanting to really focus, as I said, I can get on trails in the woods and you can just feel that presence that God has prepared in nature, can't you? Scientists and physicians tell us that when you take a walk in the woods, it is actually healthy for your lungs, for your body. That you can think more clearly because of the oxygen that is put off by those trees. And so I come back to this passage, and there the Bible tells us, in this passage, he tells us a lot of things. In the end of this passage, he tells us the very next few verses, the ungodly are not so. But I kind of think a lot of us in the last few months have seen a lot of ungodly. We don't need to know a whole lot about that. But being like a tree. And the first point that I want you to notice about a tree, even this little fake tree we've got here, is secured. We have a tree similar to this that runs around on the property. Well, I guess it doesn't run, but you know, it's around here somewhere in the building that we use sometimes for decorations or more if we have to show in a drama a tree falling over because it won't stand up. It's got a pot on it. And it's broken. Brother Keith knows about that because he's moved it enough times. I thought he was going to throw it away one time. And he finally took it. He just said, I'll fix that. And he's been garage selling. He and Miss Cindy love to garage sell. And they have found us some really beautiful fake trees that we use. I think that might be one of them there. And they're very expensive. And yet he finds them cheap at yard sales. And they work great. But for it to stand there, it's got to be secure. Now, you know, we are in hurricane season and we are about to find out and have already found out which trees are not going to make it. I remember one time hearing an old pulp water. Y'all have pulp waters in this area? They used to have pulp waters. It used to be you hear the truck driving up before the truck does. You know, it's making a horrible noise, usually stuff falling off of it. And I asked him, I said, why'd that tree over there fall down like that? And he looked at me and he said, well, in that South Georgia drawl, I reckon it got tired standing up. I said, okay, I guess that's why it fell down. Brother Gary, if you were here on Wednesday night, I thought he was going to preach half my message, but he gave me a great lead-in, and I'm going to share something that he shared in a few moments. But secured. Now, I got to studying trees, and I got to looking at this passage, and I said, all right, what it tells us, his fruit in his season, but also that his leaf shall not wither. Now, of course, we see, I guess this is working. We've had problems with the sound system. They've replaced some elements, and I know, but it sounds like it's doing good now. This leaf on this tree, we know, is going to stay the same because it's fake. It's a Hollywood tree. It's a fake tree. It's there. But sometimes we see trees that wither. Sometimes they're struck by lightning. I was out at Harris Lake last week and I saw a tree that had been hit by lightning and it was dead. Other trees I've seen that are dead, their leaf withers. But he says, if you are like a tree and secured in the Word of God, your leaves will not wither. And so I began to research and I went back and I studied what is the primary cause for a tree's leaf to wither. If we're not supposed to do it, what is it? I want to know, what does it mean when it withers, when it melts, when it dries up? Now we see when a tree's leaves wither, we see the result. But that's not the problem. I was amazed. I began to learn, you know, you learn everything on Google, right? Google and Facebook. Don't believe everything you read there. I hope that was a joke. But I did Google and then went to some Wikipedia and went to some encyclopedias and dictionaries and all that. And all of them agreed the number one reason for a tree's leaf way up here at the top to wither, and some of you may know, is the roots have a problem. Now look what this bite, they could have saved some time. Look what it says. He shall be planted by the rivers of water. You see, the tree that we are to be like, the roots have to go deep. And if you've ever seen a tree, maybe an oak tree or even one of the pecan trees that's been blown over in a storm, they all have differing amounts of roots. But I remember one time in Florida, I got this big idea that my buddy had in church there, was our bus director at the time, he had an orange tree in the back of his yard that he didn't want. Now, I love oranges. And now this orange tree, and we're not talking something like this. I mean, this thing was, I guess it was about 12 feet tall, maybe 15. And it bushed out probably about 15 feet around. It was huge. And we got it in our heads, being young men at the time, that we just had enough trucks and shovels and chains that we could take that tree and move it. He only lived 2 miles from me, so we thought we could just pick that tree up and move it over to my house. So we endeavored to do so. And we did. Not much if I put my mind to it. We're going to figure out how to do it eventually. Well, we decided, we got our shovels out and dug about a week, it seemed like, and picks and all that, and even in that Florida sand, and we started working on that tree. And we finally hooked a four-wheel drive truck to it with a chain around it, and we finally got enough torque on that thing out at the road to where we actually pulled that tree up out of by roots and all. And we got the root ball on that orange tree. And some, when we got it out, we all of a sudden realized, oh, we got a problem. The two of us ain't never going to pick that tree up and put it in the back of any one of our trucks. The root ball on that was ginormous. I mean, it was huge. And so we put together and called all the people we could find, all the big people, little people, small. We said, we didn't care. We got to have a lot of folk. And we got a bunch of friends over there, and we managed to somehow get that root ball up and into the back of his 70 model Chevrolet pickup truck. It's a long wheelbase, so we'd have never made it. And I don't know, we didn't research very much. We were in our 20s, so, you know, you do things like that then, I guess. It had oranges hanging on it all over the place. Not the time to transplant a tree, apparently. And so we finally drug that thing over there. We got it in, and we drove the mile and a half, 2 miles to my house. And the tree, kids were turning, looking down the road, because it was in the city. I mean, we were right downtown area. And these kids are all looking at us as we go by, because I was a couple of us riding in the back of the truck trying to keep it from falling out. And we had oranges like softballs bouncing down the road behind us. I mean, they were flying every which way. And what a sight we made as we drove into our yard. And it was, man, that tree was, it was just a bouncing along. And we managed to get that tree moved. We got it over there. And remind you, we lived downtown. We had, at that house, we had 0.17 of an acre. So we had, and that included the city's easement that you still had to mow out front by the sidewalk, you know, and the bus stop. So we had to figure out how to get that tree down in the backyard. We finally got it back in there by moving everything we could out of the way. And then we had to dig a hole. And we dug and we dug and we dug. It looked like we were burying somebody in the backyard. It was 6 feet deep. It was more than 6 feet deep and hugely round. And we finally got about, if I remember right, it was about 11:30 at night when we finally got ready to drop that tree in the hole. And we got it back there and realized we couldn't get it to flip up and go in the hole. I wish we'd have videoed it. We could have probably been, you know, famous by now, made some money anyway. We took that tree and we took my little, I had a S10, you hot rodders will appreciate this. I had a little S10 Chevrolet truck that the four-cylinder motor had went out. My daddy said, well, son, I got an old drag race engine, old small block 305. We'll just drop that in there. And we did. We had a little Chevrolet S10 with a 305 small block in it. So it was fun. But that was the only thing that we could get to fit in the backyard. So we finally took that little truck, got the truck in there, and it was so tight that we had to pick the rear end of the truck and move the truck around to get it where we wanted it. You say, would you do that again? Never. I'd go buy an orange. It's a lot cheaper. A lot better on my back. We'd move that tree around, but like I said, we were young. We put a logging chain to that thing, got one truck one direction, one truck the other direction, and we took off, and I goosed that truck, just about had the truck stand in the air, and we got that tree to finally drop in the tree, drop in the hole. We got it buried up, and we all went to bed. My neighbor come out and said in the morning, I didn't remember there being an orange tree there. And I said, what are you talking about? It's been there all its life. See all those oranges on there? Believe it or not, that tree actually lived a few years and even gave an orange or two. And then one year, I don't know what happened. Something happened. It kind of died off, and it was looking really rough in the fall. And I was going out of town, and our senior pastor at the time, don't ever tell him. I hope he's not. He's preaching somewhere today, too, so hopefully he won't ever see it. He came over with his chainsaw, was going to help me trim up some trees. I'd ask if I could borrow his chainsaw and trim some tree lines I had along the two crepe myrtles I had. Well, he came over and did it while I was gone, and he trimmed that orange tree out of there too. So I gave up. I went to the grocery store from then on and just went to the fruit stand. But I said all that to say I learned it was grounded and rooted. And if you were going to be the tree that God wants you to be, and I'm telling you even more, in the next few years, you better be in this. You better know that you are saved. You better know that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You better know that it is a real, vibrant, living relationship, that He talks with you and you talk with Him. Rooted in the water of the Word of God. We are told consistently and constantly in the Scripture that we must be in the Word, be in the Word in season, out of season, instant, in season. That means when you feel like it and when you don't. And in this passage, we learn that to be like a tree, you have to be secure. The next thing that I want you to see, though, is not only secure, but there's two points that go together. But the first one I want you to see is trees provide shade. Now, do you understand, and I hope you do, that a lot of what we get around us and that we use in our homes every day come from trees. The paper of the Bible that you might have there, you may have the electronic version, and I mean, my wife takes notes on hers all the time. I know people argue about that back and forth. As long as it's the Word of God, I'm happy. That's fine. The Word of God is the Word of God, so it's good wherever it's at. But if you've got a Bible, paper Bible in front of you, the paper came from what? A tree. We look around us. We have these drywall in here. We have these seats, pews, I lost the word for it, in front of us. Some forms of them came from a tree. turpentine from the pine trees that we have a lot here, and we have even more of in South Georgia. We have a lot of lumber mills down there. I grew up working around the lumber mills with my dad in the forklift business, the log loading business, and you see the sap running from it. They have discovered the pine sap is a great medicinal quality. Most of your homes have some form of a tree in them. The oxygen that we breathe, of course, the trees and the flowers. And it comes from that. Is it any wonder that he tells the Christian, I want you to be like a tree? I was talking with Brother John the other night, and in the yard of their house that we live in, there is a pecan tree that is, best we can tell, it's about 80 to 85 years old or maybe older. It gives great shade. It also gives some droppings, you know, some limbs we have to cut off every now and then, but we use them and use them to smoke some food with and everything else. It tastes great. But there's one interesting thing about that, and I don't claim any originality in what I'm telling you about the shade tree. The first time I heard it was from Jerry Clowers. He actually spoke a whole time on a shade tree. How many of you have trees around your house? So raise your hand. A lot of you? Yeah, a lot of you. Did you plant all those trees? Some of them? You did. Down at the Stillwater property, there's some trees Brother Roger Barber gave us that when we first put them in, I could look down at them. If a bird came by and tried to land on them, they would bend over. He couldn't even, now a bird can build a nest in them. There's a couple of them you can climb now. And I mean, they're starting to give shade. And we try to keep the little bottoms trimmed up and trying to get them to ball out at the top and all that. But that old pecan tree out there is a many a time that I have been working out in the yard on something and it'd be 100,000 degrees like it gets sometimes. And I would look at it and I'd say, you know what? If I pick all my mess up, I put it on this trailer here and roll it over there under that shade tree, I bet it'll be about 20 degrees cooler. And I'd pick everything up and roll over under there, and it would be. It'd be nice and comfortable to work under. It's a shade tree. You know, I don't see anybody here probably that was here when Benson Grove Baptist Church, the first day it came into existence, that was actually here. Brother Bobby, if you watch him, were you here? But I tell you what, the shade that this church has created has helped a whole lot of people, including myself. But I wasn't here when it was founded. The church that I was a part of when I got saved, I was actually saved at home. My mother led me to Christ at home. And I'd been over to a camp meeting over at another church, wasn't our church, and I don't remember a thing about what the preacher preached. All I remember is we had fried chicken for supper, and I was happy. But I wasn't there when those churches were founded. And most of the churches, the church that I was a pastor of and served at for 12 years in many different capacities, I wasn't even born when it was established. But I sure did enjoy some of the shade of that church. And there are times that you will do things in life and you will come across things and you will realize, I didn't work this. I didn't plant this, I didn't do this, but I'm enjoying the shade of this, like a tree. There are people in our congregation that have known what it's like to go hungry and without. And yet there are people in our congregation that have never known what it's like to go hungry and without because of the shade of others that have been before them. Maybe their family. Maybe their friends. You see, we are, as Christians, planting shade trees for the generations behind us. There are those that will be coming behind us that we may never even see if God tarries His coming, that will enjoy the shade of the tree of your life. Be like a tree. You see, Brother Gary mentioned something the other night. I thought it was odd because he was in the Old Testament in a passage which he explained. If you didn't hear it, you need to go back and get it. It was a very good message, very great lesson. And then he pulled one of my ADHD things and took off in left field somewhere and went after trees. I'm like, Gary, now I'm preaching on Tree Sunday. What are you doing? But it fit. And I actually added this point in because the shade tree and the sharing tree go hand in hand. And he mentioned a fact that I had to go look up. Apparently, when you go out into the forest, the trees, even though you might see that big tall tree here and then way over yonder somewhere, there's another big tall tree, did you know their roots might be touching? Now, they give off a little territorial thing, and sometimes they can't get too close to one another for that. And you know, that just kind of speaks that we all have different gifts. I can't sing a lick, but Brother Brad sings great. You know, I said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to sing like him. But I can't sing right now. That's just not my gift. We all have different things, but yet it says the scientists tell me when they study the trees that sometimes those roots rub up against each other and it's a lot of technical scientific terms, so I'm not going to bore you with that, but they actually give off what each other needs underground and they share. Be like a tree. He is telling us, the Christian, to be like a tree. So when we study this tree, we find it's a secure tree, a shade tree, it's a sharing tree. And by the way, one of the other causes, of course, of trees, there were four main causes: root nutrient deficiencies in the soil, of course, not being planted, not studying, and not being around where you need to be. Interestingly enough, the third or fourth cause of a tree leaf to wither was that the pollutants in its environment. Let me let you hear that again, let you think about it. A tree leaf will wither because of the pollutants in its environment. Forsake not the assembly of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much more, even as the day approaches, it tells us in Hebrews. Why? So that you can be saved and serving, and you can go out into a dirty world and stay clean. You see, one of the other attacks we have is the pollutants that we live in a dirty world. And staying clean in a dirty world is a hard job for a Christian. But be like a tree. Don't let those pollutants get to you. Get above all that poison and mess. And be a tree. It was interestingly enough, as I noticed these things, they give off all of these things, but I found something else very interesting. There comes a point in a tree's life that trees invariably will die. Now, death is something that we don't like to talk about. And we understand the scripture states, death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Death, where is thy sting? But we do know that unless the rapture happens, we will all meet God. If you know Jesus Christ, you will meet God by avenue of death. I dare say most everyone in here, and I've been with many of you at that time, have had to put a loved one in the ground and it broke your heart. I was working at the camp sometimes, and I was thinking about this message with the secured tree, a shade tree, a sharing tree. I was thinking about that sometimes trees share in their passing. for you to have the pew that you're sitting on, a tree, had to die. It was cut down to not live anymore, and it was turned into lumber. The Bible, if you use a paper Bible, was turned into paper. But the tree had to die. I was thinking about a lot of times as I'm doing things there at Stillwater, I see people. I see Brother Jimmy Hoyle, the security light we have mounted on the end of one of the buildings, came from his house. We used a fan at drama camp this year, and we just finished the drama camp at the Spiritual Twist Productions last week. Just went great. We're so excited about that. But when one of the fans we used this year on the stage to help cool the kids came from Brother Dallas Porter. He saw a need for it and said, I'm going to go buy a fan and put it out there. Those kids that were enjoying the breeze of that fan a few weeks ago, enjoyed the shade of a man who loved them that they never met, many of them. Shade tree. Brother Dallas traveled with us up and down this coast and helped cook at camps. I remember him, I hope Miss Judy's listening this morning, but I know they watch a lot these days, but I remember him helping me drive Brother John's truck up and down. We went from 1 year from Florida, North Carolina to Virginia doing camps and VBSs on that whole the whole coastline, and he drove or rode all those miles with me. Taught me how that you could take leftover mashed potatoes and fry them. And then he fried spaghetti. I'd never had fried spaghetti, but it was good. And then when he tried to have spaghetti a third night, I said, I'll throw it away. I'm done with it. And there's many others that I could talk about. You know what they were? They were secured, be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. They were secured, sharing shade trees and the life of many others. And I'm going to share with you the point, and then I'm going to try to illustrate it as we close here in a few moments. Be a sprouting tree. I don't know about you, I looked at a church directory a few years ago now, and I quit looking at the pictorial directory because about every page there was somebody that's already gone. Great people that we loved. But they were trees. A few months ago, I was walking, and I guess this was probably about February 1st of March. If I remember right, I have to look at the date on my phone when I took the picture. And I wanted to show you the picture of it, but it just wasn't clear enough. So I said I like to walk and pray, and there in the woods where I do that, I had a trail cut. And one day, one of the storms, it might have been Matthew, I can't remember, it might have just been one of the winter storms, knocked a large tree down right in my trail. And I was going to go to get the saw eventually and getting down there with the tractor and move it out of the way and all that. And I got to noticing tracks and I realized that me and the deer must be using the same trail. And the deer didn't bother to go get their chainsaw. They just made a new trail. Maybe I'll just use the same trail. And so I didn't care which way I walked. I was out for the walk and the praying, not necessarily the where. And so I started using the same trail, and I got to finding out that me and the deer were indeed. In fact, I've got a few pictures of them. And one of them's biggest buck I've ever got, huge horns on him. And he's wily. He don't ever get seen much. And I began to use that same trail with them. You want to know, I do Psalms 23, the Lord's Prayer. If you ever want to know which buck that is, he's the one that knows Psalm 23 by heart now. But I was walking around, and as I came up on that tree that had fallen one morning, it had been a couple years, I noticed something strange that caught my eye, and I went over there and I took pictures of it. And it fascinated me. In the trunk of where that tree had fallen, there were little bitty sprouts of new trees. They didn't look anything like the old tree at all. They were actually very different. I'm not even sure one was the same variety of tree. And yet where that great big old tree had fallen, there were sprouts of all these trees that were popping up. You just think about that. Be like a tree. Anybody in here, the person led them to Christ, already gone on to heaven? Several of you. I've been praying about how to present this to you all week because I don't want to offend, but I don't want to do it wrong. In March, I don't know, anybody else remember? We'll just do this because it'll only be 3 weeks or so. I told some people then that there was a group of the college-age students were all over at the house, and I said, I fear the night that I heard what all was happening. I said, this is a dangerous and foolish precedent because of the control it's going to give people, and we're going to fight it a long time. I know some looked at me kind of funny, and I said, I fear this is dangerous, what we have set as a precedent. Yeah, that was to be 3 weeks, and what are we now? 6 months? I don't know. We're in about the 175th of March at this point. And things have changed and are changing. We've worried over the years in churches, church as we traditionally know it, may be about to take some major changes. I'm no prophet. I just know what the book says. The Bible says, and we sometimes flippantly quote out of the book of Matthew, that when the disciples ask, how shall we know when the time has come? And the Lord Jesus replied, there will be wars and earthquakes and pestilence and all of that, famines in diverse places, in other words, many places, then you shall know the coming of the Son of Man. What just happened last Sunday morning? Was it Sunday morning? It was an earthquake in North Carolina. I know you may know that the largest measuring device for earthquakes in the entire world, or the most used, all the nations of the world get it from this one place, and it's in a cavern outside of Bays, Virginia. Government feds keep really close watch, all the seismic stuff, because if an earthquake happens anywhere in the world, the little cavern in Bays, Virginia will know about it. And we may be worried about in a few years, we may not be worried about what we wear to church, but if we have something to wear. We may indeed come to the point where you say, I've been concerned about it just like everybody else. What's the church of the future going to look like? A drama ministry? The drama may all go on at the courthouse or the jailhouse when they arrest all of our leaders. We don't know. That's just the reality we may be looking at. There are those in our country who would love to shut every church down for the last time. But I've got news for them. You can destroy this building and you can bring it down to absolute ashes and you will not destroy the church of Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't have to have this building to worship. I don't have to have this building to be like a tree or any other church building. I think this is a beautiful building. I always have. From the first moment I ever stepped inside it, I thought it was beautiful. But I don't worship this building. It may be that instead of worrying about those kind of things, we could go back to like the early Christians. We may not be worried about what the grass looks like or what the carpet looks like. We may be worried about what the cave looks like as we're in hiding trying to worship God. He said, oh, that's just crazy far out there. I don't think it's as far out as people realize. We've been warned repeatedly over the years this was coming. People have plainly stated what they would like to do to the church. But we have sprouting trees. Be like a tree. I don't want to offend anybody in age. I try to wear my mask when I'm supposed to just because I don't want to offend anybody, but and all those things. And I try to live my life that way, try not to offend folks. Sometimes I do just by accident or just showing up. I don't know. But I don't think Brother Mitchell, though we talked quite a few times, would mind. Brother Mitchell, what year were you born?
1939.
You remember? 1939. And I know he's proud of what God's done in his life and his age. And I'm going to be like that, man. If I get to be 75, 80 years old, I'm going to let everybody know I'm that age. Look at me, man. I've made it. Was God saving people that you know? I know you weren't old enough to know them, but do you think God saved people in 1939, Brother Mitchell? Somebody else tell me what year you were born. Just shout it out. 52. Was God saving people in 1952? Well, Brad, what, you and I are a little bit different generation. What year were you? I don't even know what year you were. You mind? 70s. I was just barely made it in the 70s. I was 73. Not a lot of great stuff came out of that. I'd rather had the 60s cars than the 70s. God was saving people in the 70s. The church buildings, if you go back and look at some of the pictures, you'd have went, wow, look at those hairstyles. Some of you ladies would have been appalled. You'd have had your head up here on top of it and a bun tied up, you know, or something or other. And then we went through the whole, when I was young, I remember the whole, the big hair thing, you know. Big, huge hair, and the lady could say she was 6 feet when she's really only five, but she had a foot of hair on her head, you know? And the guys wore those bell bottoms, and they came in the room before they did, you know? And then we went through, and Lord have mercy, I'll get back to it. I saw somebody the other day pegging their pants. We went through, some of you don't know about that. That was in my generation. You rolled your pants up so you could show your socks off. I wish we would have stopped there and left the underwear out, but anyway. All that stuff goes through. But truthfully, we laugh at it and look back at it. God was still saving people. And I don't care if you're in a tweed suit, a polyester suit, or if you don't have a suit, He can still save you. And He's still saving people. And I saw those trees, man, and it got me excited. I said, look there. Even though that tree has fallen, and we have had a lot of trees in our church that have fallen, we got a lot more, I'm afraid, that are coming. If you look at our church, it scares me. We have a lot of transition ahead of us. And it's bothered me. And I finally got peace about that because I realized God can work without me. It's not my church. It's His. And I still believe that when He said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, it was a promise. Sprouting trees. There were still people being saved in whatever year you were born. And even though in our country, I believe we are about to go through, we've just begun what's got to happen. The Bible, I was reading this the other day, tells us all, that you will know also that the coming of the Son of Man is nigh, when the son of perdition shall be revealed. And that at this moment, the one who lets now lets, but will no longer let, referring to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. From everything I can read and study in prophecy, the Antichrist will probably, more than likely, be alive and possibly being even close to or even be revealed before we go out of here. What kind of mess does the whole world got to be in to accept the Antichrist? It's getting close. a mess. We hear cashless society. Europe's been talking about it for years. We hear chipping people, putting chips so that you can track them. I've been in Florida twice in the last few months, and both times they had a checkpoint set up because they wanted to trace where people were going due to COVID. I have no idea what tracing people was going to do for it. If you got it, you got it. If you don't, you don't. What good's knowing where they're at going to do? But that was my personal opinion. That was free. But by June, they had traced 75,000 people of where they were at in the state. We are headed there. But God promised in the book of Psalms, be like a tree. And I want to read this whole, Brother Joe Barry, you start making your way if you would, please. Some of the trees that are going to sprout up don't look like you and I look. I've had the opportunity over the last few years to have a travel team that's kind of went with us in some of the ball field ministry, some of the drama camps we've done. And I'll be honest, sometimes they don't look like me. They don't talk the same language. I've had to sometimes say, what are y'all talking about? And all of that. But I have learned one thing. Maybe they don't always have their Bible in the same form I've got it in, but I'd ask them about a Bible verse and they'd whip out their means of it and they'd find it and they knew right where it was. It was in their pocket all the time, right with them. I've learned that they love God. And they really love the same God I love. And there's some things that are different. They may not look exactly the same. Most of you don't look exactly the same as your great-great-grandfather did now. You don't wear anything like they wore it. You'd have had like three-piece suit on and vest, and your ladies would have had crinolines and all kind of stuff. But they love the same God. And there are trees that are sprouting up that are going to look a little different. But I have this promise. They are secure. And just because I die and fall off the scene doesn't mean, or just because you die and we get cut down, God's going to continue to use us if we're faithful. And we're going to share and we're going to provide shade for others if we live like a tree. And I don't have to worry that when I go in the grave or if I go in the rapture, if I go in the grave, God is still going to be God. And the book of Daniel says there is a God in heaven. He's still going to be in charge and he's still going to be saving people and there will still be a church, even if it looks different. I want to read this whole passage. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Brother Barry, Joe Barry, you come and I wasn't sure, so I didn't call him through the week. I said my sign was going to be if Joe Barry was here, and I didn't know if he'd be here for sure or not, if he'd get called out or anything. And I walked in, he was one of the first people I saw, and I said, God, I think that's in your will. Let's just stand for time of invitation, and while we do that, he's going to sing this tree that some of you are familiar with, this tree song, Be Like a Tree. Maybe you'd like to just come down this morning and say, God, help me be secure. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, today is the day of salvation. Come let us take the Word of God and show you how you can be saved and be secure. Maybe you just say, I've been worried. Many of us have. Let's come down and ask God to help you be a tree. Be like a tree. Ask God to help you be shade for others. And thank Him that He's not going to let His church go. He loves His church. He's going to make it happen.